and for His salvation, for His love to every one of us. Thank the Lord for the body of Christ. Thank the Lord for the members of the body. And thank the Lord for the gifts that's in the body. Thank the Lord that He's joined us with His blood and with His Spirit. And we thank the Lord this morning that we can speak to one another in worship to the God of heaven unto edification and in encouragement. And as God blesses you, He wants that blessing to bless me. As God blesses one member of the one joint, God wants us to share that so that blessing will go out to the whole body. So thank the Lord this morning for the liberty and the freedom we have to express thank you, Lord, thanks given to God, and praise to His holy name. I'd like to consider this morning, it seems like the Lord has not told me to go to part two yet of the kingdom of God. I got it right here, but it seemed like I hadn't got the go ahead. But something that is vital to us, it's vital to God, and it's a commission that you and me have. It's a commission to the church. And I want to speak today, with God's help, about you and me as members of Christ's body preaching the Word. Preaching the Word. And please don't take this as a preacher preaching to you that the preacher is the one that he's all together talking about here. I am convinced the commission of Christ went to every believer. And every one of us are a messenger of the Lord. Every one of us are, in particular, servants of the Word of God. And we have various opportunities to minister the Word of God. Every one of us have opportunities to preach the Word. And the vitalness of the Word and the commission to preach it. We live today where men want to add water to the wine. I like to cook. Most of you have heard me say that. Karen had thawed out some steak, sirloin steak, and one reason or another, we didn't cook it, and it was still fresh, of course. So I got up yesterday morning, and I decided beef stew. So I got the beef out, and the carrots, and the potatoes, and all the ingredients. And I cooked them, browned the meat, and put them all together. Put it in a crock pot, and away we went. Before I got finished with everything, I looked into the pot, stirred it, and I thought, it needs a little more water. So I added some water to it. So about 6 o'clock last night, we ate the beef stew. And while it was good, it lacked something. It lacked that little touch that made it go over the edge of being so great. And I searched my mind and I remembered. I added water. I said, Karen, that's where I messed up. That extra little amount of water diluted the flavor just enough that it kept it from going over the edge of being, wow, this is great. You know, the devil in you and me and in our lives of preaching the Word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wants us to not quite get enough and water it down to where we just don't quite get that essence just right that it'll cause someone to want to go over the edge for Jesus Christ. Watering down. And I think that's the challenge that we as the church of God face, one of them, is that in our own lives and the application of the Word of God to ourselves, that we preach the Word to ourselves. Not just because if I'm going and you're going to be effective witnesses, we have first got to let judgment begin and the word begin in our own house or our own home, our own particular life. It must begin in Israel. It must begin with us. So I'm thinking about the charge God has given us, Christ has given us, of preaching the word. Over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul said it this way in 1 and 16 of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word, the gospel, the testimony, if you will, the preaching, if you will, the witnessing of the complete, undiluted, sanctified, holy word of God, with its judgments, with its hope, with its love, with its tremendous care it has for mankind, that is the power of God. It is the power of God to liberate from error and liberate from sin. It gives us, by the entrance of the Word into our hearts, it gives us power and authority to live the life that God wants us to live. It said, the entrance of thy word giveth light, or life. So, we're thinking this morning about preaching the word of God, preaching it in its fullness, and not to dilute the power of the word of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its own wisdom or its fashion of wisdom knew not God. But after all of that, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So there is an authority given to the witnessing, the preaching, and the teaching of the Word of God. It's His Word, and He said it will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish that which He sent it out to do. Our job is not to mix it. Our job is not to try to excuse it. Our job is to preach it. In love, in mercy, but to teach it and to preach it and to live it out. And it pleased God, whether some will agree or some not, but through the teaching and the preaching, men and women would be saved, as the gospel is taught, as the word is taught. I'd like to go now over to Matthew, the 4th chapter. If you think about it, if the expression and expounding and the teaching and the preaching of the word is a means by which God wants to reach out and convert and raise up believers, it would stand to reason then, and if it is indeed the power of God unto salvation, then it would be only fitting that Satan would want to try to dilute it or take away from it, that the complete work of the Word would not have its work in our life. The Lord sent His Word to heal and deliver and to make new, and not to just appease or to tickle one's ears or give one a false hope. The Word of God came to condemn sin. and show sin to what it is and what it is doing to mankind. And it came to testify that through Jesus Christ, there is deliverance from the sin in our life, that we no longer have to live under the destroyer. If then, any portion of that, if it's taken away, or not preached, or not taught, or not lived, it dilutes the message. As the message is diluted, it will dilute the effectiveness of it as you and I go forth to be a light in this world. Over in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the first 4 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, The authority of God and His Word, and the authority that God has given it to prophets, to men of old, to write it legibly, that we can understand it, and it's available to us. God has gone to great, great sacrifice, great lengths to preserve the Bible and to preserve what's written. For God to be so interested, so protective of it, it must be important. For God to make sure that right down here in our day, we have access to the Word of God. One of the most despised and fought things in the heathen world is the Word of God. Men have been killed in mass. Men have been killed in terrible ways for the reason of wanting to get the Bible to other people who didn't have it. Satan has opposed the Word of God. He has opposed it from the beginning, and he opposes it today. Now listen, here's what Jesus said. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live, and always has been this way, people, we like the luxury of picking and choosing. Sectism is based on picking and choosing. And those who pick point A get in column A. Those who pick item B get in column B. And C, D, right on down the line. And now you have a myriad of denominations or hills, and they have picked and choosed to the point it's divisive. But the Lord told us, and this is important for us today, folks, because we live under the pressure of what's around us, young people. We live under the pressure of what the world is saying, what the world is doing, what the world is calling good and right and wrong, what the world is accepting. I believe it was the United Methodist. Pretty sure it was. They want to have the current President Bush wants to have his presidential library at his wife, and maybe his, but his wife's alma mater, SMU, Southern Methodist University. They are a group of United Methodist ministers rising up in protest of that, getting petitions passed around to keep the president from authorizing SMU to be the recipients of his papers and all of this for his library. I know that doesn't mean much to you or me where it is, and it really doesn't. But do you know why they are opposing him? Because of his stand on the rights, quote, we hear today, gay rights. They're opposing that. This is one of the hills. This is one of those that have raised up in error and not living by the whole Word of God, and they have authority. And we hear their voice. We hear what they have to say, and the media makes sure it gets out. But the Bible, Christ Himself said, our responsibility is to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe as Christians, and I believe as part of the body of Christ, that's our charge. In your life and in mine, in our home and at work, wherever we may go, from our heart, live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let judgment truly begin with us. Don't be afraid of it, but honor God in that we submit ourselves to His Word and to His judgment. The Word of God is the source of life. The Word of God has in it something that you and me can live by. It has substance to it. It's not fleeting. It's not changing. It is not something that is weak and not powerful. It has substance to it that if you and me will obey it, it will work in our life. Our brother testified just a while ago. He didn't know exactly what he was going to do. But did you know Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Who came to his rescue? The Word of God, Jesus Christ, the very promises that are there. It is a way in which we are to live, not just quote unquote believe, but it is a means by which we actually live. Over in the 107th chapter of Psalms, you know, in the world today, it's a world of armament and weaponry. There's just recently China exploded a old communication satellite up in space with a missile, 500 miles or so up. And it caused a lot of consternation, a lot of grievances among the rest of the nations of the world. And one reason is that if China starts doing something like this, then the United States and other nations are going to have to develop something that'll stop that. And so then you've got the build up again. You build this, well, I'll build this to take away from it. Over in the 107th Psalm, the Lord has a means by which sin can be destroyed. He has a means by which you and me can be healed, not only physically, but of the curse of sin, the curse of unbelief. We can be healed in our right standing with God. And down through the ages, man has found themselves in many dilemmas. But in the 20th verse of the 107th Psalm, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The course of man, the course of humanity is one of self-destruction. I don't suppose any nation, any country has survived forever. Every great movement of people has come to some type of an end and something took their place. Man is constantly bent by his rebellion to the Word and to God, is constantly bent on destruction. Marriages and homes, lives and health, right standing with God, our souls, men are destroying their own souls. And what is the means by which God worked to bring men out of that dilemma? He sent His Word. He sent the authority and the wisdom and the truth and the virtue of His Word. And what did that Word do? It healed. It made well. It corrected the problem. Folks, the Word of God will correct our problem. The Word of God will correct your problem. The Word of God will correct my problem. If I will let it come into my life and be effective and work and not push it away or hold it back, but allow its virtue to have precedence and authority, the Word of God will heal. It will heal those places that we have gone astray. It will heal those places that destruction is looming. It will heal those places that we have thought are lost and can never be recovered. As you and me submit to that, the Lord God wants you and me to preach this word, teach this word, live this word, believe this word, not to be ashamed of this word. God wants us to go forth to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power and the authority of God to heal that which is wrong with the world. Heal what's wrong with men's lives and destroy the destroyer. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works, the effects of the devil in men's lives. So He sent His Word and He healed them from all their destruction. Aren't you glad this morning now God has made available to us such a powerful weapon, such a powerful armament, something that is infallible, something there's no chinks in the armor of the Word of God. Man has put a chink or two there, tried to, and man has tried to bring confusion concerning the Word of God, but the bottom line is there's no chinks in the armor. It's pure, it's holy, and it's forever settled in the heaven of God. In the 119 of Psalms, in the 105th verse, 119 and 105 of Psalms, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The thing that the world has gone about doing, we read that earlier, or quoted that earlier in Romans, I believe, the 10th chapter, men have gone about to establish their own righteousness. And we read in the Bible that that righteousness is as filthy rags. Today, be very careful that you and me do not try to establish a righteousness that violates the Word of God, that violates the commandments of God, the teachings and the life and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. If we do not have Jesus, His Spirit, He said, we're none of His. We need to realize today there is only one true light, there's only one true lamp, and that's the Word of God. And it'll guide you, and it'll guide me. And not only will it guide us today, but it'll guide us right on over to where every one of us here today want to go, and that's to heaven. God gave His Word to heal us. God gave His Word to be a lamp and a light. God gave His Word so we'd know how to please Him. That's important. If it's not important to you right now, will you believe me when I say it will be important? It will be important to you that you have pleased God. That'll be the only thing you'll want to know. Have I pleased God? Right now we can get busy with life. We can go about all manner of affairs and get caught up in this. But there will be a day and a time coming that every one of us will want to have pleased God. The Word teaches us how to please God. So He told the church, go you into all the world. Teach it, preach it, live it, show it, put it on display. When men don't believe you, live it on them. When men won't listen to you, show it by your good works that they'll have to glorify your Father in heaven. Be willing to demonstrate by a sacrificed, crucified life the effectual workings of the Word of God. As a group of people that assemble here in Guthrie, Oklahoma, God forbid that we not preach and teach the Word. It is the absolute truth. It is the only thing that will free men from their own righteousness, free men from sin, free men from the calamity that's going to befall this world one day. We have committed to us wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. So He gave us His Word that we might know how to please Him. Consequently, we know what displeases Him. But we know what pleases Him. He gave us His Word that we might also comprehend Him. Have you ever thought about that? Look at what happens and the illustrations you get of God when you don't have the Bible. Have you ever thought about that? He sent His Spirit, and we'll never minimize that, but He sent His Word. He sent His Word. And have you ever noticed the things that come out of the people's lives who boycott the Word or do not have access to the Word? The Word helps you and me comprehend the divine. Who He is, His purpose, His nature, His character, what He has for us, what He wants for us, what is promised to us. It describes His wrath and His anger, His jealousies. It describes how He has opened Himself up and emptied Himself out that we might have life. We could not comprehend. You know, without the Bible and an understanding of God, men have thrown children to the lions, or to, not to lions, but to the old furnace of the volcanoes. In some way to appease that, God sent His Word, and it was written, and there was a time when man didn't have this, and there was gross darkness, folks, because the Word was not readily available. The Catholic Church held men in bondage of death because there was not access to the Word of God. The Word loosens and lets go and frees up. Praise God for it. We worship the Lord for the Word of God. Thank Him for it, and we don't take a back seat to anyone because of it, because the Word is true. And it's not going to change. Now you and me can comprehend, and I know, I'll interrupt this, I know He has given us His Spirit, and I'm not at all taken away from that. His Spirit, but His Spirit will do this, confirm the Word. It will give understanding to the Word. It still validates the Word. It still makes true the Word. Jesus said, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will hereafter. The Spirit came, and then they understood. Then they understood the things that He said and taught them. And then they were going out, able to go out with authority because they had the Word of God and the Spirit together. But they didn't go out with just the Spirit. They went out with proclaiming the Word of God. And I believe it talks about with power. I think about the Word of God. Have you ever noticed illustrations are good teaching tools? An example is a good teaching tool, a prop. We could maybe talk about water being filled, and we might illustrate it some way with this cup of water. Things of that nature, visual stimulation is a good teaching tool. It helps us to comprehend. Well, read with me over in John 1. The Lord so wanted you and me to understand Him and comprehend the divine. Listen to what He said in 1 and 14 of John. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt, I like to think of it this way, dwelt right among us. Not out on a hill somewhere, but right among us. He slept with them probably. He ate with them, we know. He went fishing with them. You know, he taught them right among them, right among us. And we beheld His glory. We beheld the glory of this Word. The glory as the only begotten of the Father. And this one, we realize now by beholding Him as they of old did, as John writes about Him right here, He was full, the Word of God was full of grace. What did it say here? Full of grace and of truth. Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh. Why? We know there's very many reasons, but one is that we might comprehend the great love of God, the great power of the Word of God. God wants us to know that. John in 1 John, I think it's very important that we read this. 1 John 1 and 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. The Lord wants us, saints, today, to touch Jesus Christ, to see Him, to handle Him, to have a relationship with Him, that you and me might go forth and declare the Word of God, declare its fullness, declare the grace of it, to declare and preach the Word in all of our living, in all of our life. Every one of us living examples, epistles known and read of all men, of the grace and the truth that is in the Word of God. He sent His Word and He healed them. He sent Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to heal the sin-sick soul of man, to deliver us from sin. Any preaching less than that is error. Any preaching that excuses sin in the flesh is an error. Any sin that does not up, any preaching that does not uphold the holiness of God, the holiness of His kingdom, is in error and below the dignity of the Word of God. And because it's below the power that God sends with His Word to change lives, to bring out of destruction, that power won't be there. Hence, we'll see men in societies and movements still living in the squalor of sin when they could be on the mountain of the Lord, holiness, on their bridle, on the reins of their life. Today, Lord, help us preach the Word. Preach it in truth. Preach it in love. Preach it with a zeal. Preach it with a truth that I know I have handled it. I have seen it. I have touched it. I know in my heart what it means. Now, you'll bear with us. Let's go to the commission of the Lord now. I believe we find that in Matthew 28, don't we? Matthew 28. And Jesus, in the last three verses, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of this, and because of what I've shown you, because of who I am, because of the urgency, because of the greatness of the message, because it is the life-giving substance that will redeem and heal and deliver from destruction. He said, because of these things, because of the power I have, He said, now I want you to go into all the world and teach all nations. Preach the Word, in other words. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And He gave this promise, and lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. The commission then is go out and preach this Word. What He has commanded us. It does great injustice to take away from the Word of God. He said in one place, you don't go in, and by your teachings you keep them from going in. Consequently, you make them twice the children of the devil or hell. Think about this. If a person's a sinner, he's going to hell. We know that. What if that person, and to get to heaven, he's got to come out of his sin, right? We know that. What if that person gets a false hope, a false truth? No such thing, I know that, but we call it that. Gets a hold to a doctrine or a teaching that justifies sin. You see a dilemma of that person, and he embraces that and believes it? Do you see the dilemma that person's in? Not only is he a sinner, but now he's believed a lie. So now to get saved, he's got to unbelieve the lie. That's step one. Step two is then he has to repent. The Lord said this false teaching and this false doctrine, you make a person twice the child of hell, or the children of the devil. I'm not quoting that just right. But you put them not in just jeopardy, but you put them in double jeopardy. May the Lord help us today to understand how necessary our commission is. Here is what I see, and it's always been, the devil, just call him who he is, Satan, wants the saints at Guthrie, Oklahoma, to not teach and preach the Word. And I'm not speaking about me or Sister Marsha or Sister Connie. I'm talking about every one of us. Not to hold to, and I'm not saying we're doing it. Please understand. I'm saying what the devil wants us to do is not to hold to the whole Word of God. To, in fear or in intimidation, many reasons to add that little extra water that we think is so necessary to make it appealing. I don't want to offend anyone, and I know you don't want to. But Jesus Christ offended people. We must, in love, tell truth. We must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We must not use the Word of God as a battering ram or a hammer. But we must speak the truth in love. We must, not just with a lot of human brass, go in and say, well, you're going to hell because the Bible. No, we don't do that. That offends, that turns off. But we must hold to the truth of the Word of God because it's the means of the healing and the deliverance from destruction. He said, teaching them to observe all things. That's, Sister Lewis, that's not always pleasant with man. Because some things in the Bible I like more than other things. As far as the flesh say, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can't do that. But we must. He said in another place, make no provisions for the flesh. God help us to be a sanctified congregation, a sanctified people, a sanctified church. We cannot afford in the preaching, and I'm not trying to preach something hard or harsh. I don't mean this at all. But we cannot afford to make concessions to the flesh. We just can't do that. We can say it, I want to tell you something. There's a polite way to tell somebody they're going to hell. Just tell them with the Spirit of God and with love. But they need to know. That kind of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. Over in Acts, kind of fitting to where we are in some ways, Peter and another one there was preaching and teaching, and they got in Dutch with the people around them. And one of the elders came to their rescue. Maybe they were getting ready to kill them. Over in Acts, the 5th chapter and the 40th verse. So they whipped them and then let them go. 40th verse, and to him they agreed, to this man who spoke up, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, this could be taken as lightly or it could be taken in all the fullness. And I believe it should be taken in all the fullness. Don't tell me that. Don't preach that. We'll get beaten up. We'll get ridiculed and we'll get misunderstood. Bear the cross, saints. Bear the cross. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Go ahead and preach the word every day in your life, every day to your children, every day to your husband, every day to your wife. Live the life the word demands of us. You won't always be understood, and there'll be some that'll want to harm you some way. So they were commanded after they whipped them, don't you preach in this name anymore. So Peter, and I forgot which one was with him, but he said, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Such a proud and loose world. Such a world we live in that does not think we should be bemeaned or taken advantage of some way. The Lord has a church that's going to be taken advantage of because they love Jesus. And they're going to have to suffer some shame and some ridicule. And listen to the 42nd verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Don't let the world stop you from teaching about Jesus. I'll confess to you, I feel that pressure. Now, I'll stand here and open myself up. There are times, I'm not talking about just from the pulpit, there are times when preaching and living the Word makes us feel like, where's the hole? I want to crawl in it. You feel the pressure of the stigma that's attached to the cross of Christ. But these men so love God, and there is going to be those in heaven who love not their life unto death. They went about daily teaching and preaching Jesus Christ, the Word of God that was made flesh. So today, a couple of more scriptures, please bear with me. 2 Timothy. Well, Matthew 16, 18, and 19 is important. In the commission and in the sending out of His disciples and apostles, He said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. And folks, we don't like to put authority in the hand of a preacher. We believe we're all level and equal. None of us can consign another to hell or elevate one to holiness in heaven. I know that. But the Lord gave us the Word of God. That's the keys of the kingdom. And He told us that whatever the Word binds will be bound. Whatever is loosed by the Word will be loosed in heaven. You and me have a tremendous power entrusted to us. We need wisdom, and we need love, and we need courage to preach the Word. Go forth and let the world know the truth of God's Word. It's the key of the kingdom, and He committed that to every one of us. Over in 2 Timothy 3 and 14, 2 Timothy 3 and 14. All Scripture, 3 and 16, excuse me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. There is an attack on doctrine. Doctrine is an essential part of the Word because doctrine simply means teaching. People want to set aside doctrine and just have some type of false hope in Jesus that's not applied in the Bible. We must teach doctrine. He said the Scripture, or the Word, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable to teach it and apply it to our life. The teachings on modesty, just to pull one out, it's in the Bible. And we are not to say, let the Lord lead you and every man to his own tent concerning modesty. We're to teach what the Bible said on modesty. Wearing of gold and costly array. We're not to say, let the Lord lead you and whatever is fine. No, the Word expresses how to live. The Word expresses about our financial status. And we're not to just lay it out and say, well, whatever the Lord leads you to do. It's more than that. There are specific doctrines on our finances and giving of our finances, support of the work of God, etc. So what I'm saying, just those few examples, I know there's many others. There's doctrine. It's not that we just come to Jesus and it's all over with. That's the beginning place. But there's doctrine in the Word of God. How to conduct ourselves. How to behave ourselves. And the church has an obligation and a commission to teach that. And then let that be taken away from us. For reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Back to doctrines. God help us that we have a reason for the hope that lies in every one of us. The doctrines must be sound and based on the Bible. And if they are, people, let's not let go of them. Let's not water them down. Let's not say, that's the Word of God. That's what the Bible says on the matter. And we teach that in love. We teach that in respect. But we teach the Word of God. This is the burden I have in part this morning, that the devil has got a big old water pitcher standing over my soul, standing over your soul, and trying to pour the water or the leaven of the Pharisees or whatever you want to call it down in our life to cause the effectiveness and the power and the virtue of the Word to be diluted in our message. He told them, 1 Timothy 4:1, he said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead in this His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Don't preach your opinion, preach the Word. Don't preach what man wants to hear, preach what man needs to hear. Preach the Word. And be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when people, they will not hear, endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust shall they heap together to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from what? The Word, the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Do not we see that on a wholesale level? May I say to you this morning, here's what I see Satan wanting to do. Insectism, just to get those people in error, but that eventually the whole system of Christian religion would be destroyed. And I believe we're seeing that. Christianity is losing the respect of the masses. Ungodliness and perversion is usurping its authority. Where evangelicals? And I'm not quite saying that right. And yeah, thank you. Are their message, though it's mixed with wine and the water, I know, they're being pushed over and get out of the way, you don't matter anymore. The voice is being neutralized to the point, the Word is, by Satan and sectism, to the point people are saying, why do we need this at all? And they're in mass walking away. Oh, I know we have a few mega churches, but folks, if you took away the charisma of the speaker and you took away the bands and the drums and all of this, you'd have an empty building because the Spirit of God is not there. But listen, Satan wants the hills to get full of error to the point that sin is no longer sin, wrong is no longer wrong. You cannot teach the Word of God because it's been so corrupted, and then anything goes, and now we don't even need the Baptist, the Methodist, all of these things. They're falling into disrepair. That's the aim of Satan. And he wants to do it in your ministry. And he wants to do it in my ministry. And he wants to do it to our little congregation right here. So the answer, preach the Word. Be filled of the Holy Ghost. Preach the Word. I can end now. I hate to apologize for preaching, but I feel I must say thank you for your patience. In the 1 Timothy 4:13, sound advice for us today in 2006. 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Quite a compelling charge here. Timothy, to the church, I write, you give attendance to this thing. Brother Jim taught us today about making light, the dangers of making light of the commission in the Word of God. Give attendance to what the preacher says, not because he's him, but because it's the Word of God. Give attendance to when your brother and sister testifies. Give attendance to reading and studying and praying. Give attendance to this thing. Don't cast it off over here as a secondary issue. It's the number one issue. The number one issue. Give attendance to this thing and to the doctrine, to the teaching, to the precepts. He said, don't neglect this thing. There's going to be a lot of souls lost because of neglect. A lot of people and movements can go down because they don't give attendance and they neglect. He said this to Timothy, give thyself wholly, completely, 100%. May God help us today. Are we withholding anything that's making the Word of God none effect? When you and me find that place of the call of the cross, crucifixion, sanctification, and truly, genuinely, to the best we totally can understand, Lord, I am thine 100%. God can begin then to work a work in you and me and in a congregation. Take heed to thyself, to the doctrines, and continue in them. Because in so doing, Timothy, you'll be saved. And that word in you, and if it's believed and heard and acted upon by others, they too will be saved. Wonderful words of life have been committed to us, the Word of God. So first of all, me. First of all, you. That's where it's got to start, with the individual. Give yourself over to it 100%. Meditate on it. Pray on it. Study it. Take heed to how you live and how you apply it. So doing, Timothy, you'll be an effective minister. Saints, you can be an effective minister today if you'll follow these things. And then you'll not only be able to save yourself, but you'll be able to save those who hear the Word of God that you teach with your life. You pray for me.